Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. Merry Christmas to everybody. My people over in Marion and Talbot and Taylor County, Merry Christmas to you, too. My folks over near Seal, Alabama, Crawford, Alabama, Phoenix City, Smith Station, are you in the building? Merry Christmas to you guys. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I pray that all of you had a wonderful Christmas celebration as we celebrated the birth of Christ. And as we had an opportunity to get with family members and have some good food and exchange some gifts, I do hope that you did not leave out the reason for the season and that you had that conversation with your relatives as to why we celebrate Christmas and why it's such a big deal here in our culture. And absolutely, it is a big deal. It's an amazing deal. And so we had a great time with my family and friends for the holidays. Thank you guys for all the text messages and all the messages on social media. Greatly appreciate that. But today is Sunday, December the 30th. We have one more day left in the year, and we will be celebrating a new year, bringing in 2019. So I hope that you are prepared with what you want to do for 2019 to change your trajectory in life. Or if you want things to continue as they're going, maybe you have found that stride and it's something that you are happy about. I say to you, I wish you the best. I pray many blessings upon you and hope that God delivers everything that you pray for and everything that you work toward. Because remember, the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. So you got to put some work in if you want it to happen. You just can't pray about it. You just can't wish it up. You got to work to make it happen. So we're going to have a great conversation today. I got an awesome guest with me. I consider this guy to be a mentor of mine. He's an amazing guy here in the community. He works hard. Works extremely hard in and out of organizations, and has a strong military background, so he got that no-nonsense about him now. So you're going to hear that today on the radio. You're going to hear the no-nonsense, but you're going to hear also the seriousness as well as the professionalism that's going to come with that, and I'm glad to have him here on the station. We've been trying to get him here for a while, but we have with us Brother Matthew Bonham. Matthew Bonham is the District Deputy Grand Master of the Columbus 4th Masonic District, the Most Worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge in Georgia. Brother Bonham, how you doing today, sir?
Wonderful. And I want to join you on behalf of the Columbus 4th Masonic District. I'm praying and hoping that everyone had a Merry Christmas. And as you said, they remembered the reason for the season. And going into the new year, I'm praying and hoping that everyone has a wonderful new year. All those resolutions that you have made are going to make. I hope you have the wisdom and fortitude to follow through with them. But more especially, I want you to put off all those things in 2018 that did not take you where you wanted to go, but put on those new things that are going to take you where you need to go in 2019. Again, on behalf of the Columbus 4th Masonic District, we're hoping that Columbus continue to grow and do what we need to do to get ahead in this community.
Now, Brother Bonham, I have a deep appreciation for Masons. I mean, Masonry has been a part of my family growing up as a country boy over in Wilkinson County. My granddaddy, my uncles, all of them was a part of the Mason family. Can you just talk about the 4th Masonic District here in Columbus and, you know, just talk about what it means to you and some of the things that you guys are doing that impacts the community?
Well, as Masons, we've got 6 lodges located in the Columbus 4th Masonic District. 4 of those are right here in Columbus, and they meet at 815 6th Avenue. 1 lodge is in Talbotton, Georgia, in Talbot County. And we also have a lodge that's in Buena Vista, okay? And they meet there on the 2nd and 4th Mondays. Each of our lodges meets at different times. But as a part of that, we have an adopted rite called the Order of the Eastern Stars, where our sisters also have chapters, okay? 2 of which, again, are right here in Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And they also meet at 815 6th Avenue. And we have a chapter in Talbotton and a chapter in Buena Vista. Now, when you say talk about Masons and what do they do? Well, each one of these organizations, that's 10 altogether, do their own benevolence as far as it you know, pertains to what happens in Columbus. Each one has adopted a school, for instance, and they do some of those things that people don't see.
And
of
that's
course,
important.
We do all the back-to-school drives.
Right, right.
You'll see that as we go through the year. You'll see about 8 to 9 different back-to-school drives within this city,
mm-hmm.
also within Talbotton, also within Buena Vista.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, you see a lot of organizations do back-to-school drives, but there are things that kids need throughout the year. You know,
right.
those. What we try to do is keep those. The teachers or guidance counselors will tell us on whatever school each organization has adopted, you know, what is it that they need throughout the year that a student may not need, and they're aware that in many cases the parents can't provide.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to stock up on those things. Now, not only that, each of my organizations participate in scholarships, giving away scholarships.
Wow.
And now, what you don't see a lot of publicity about it,
mm-hmm.
because one thing we do, we like to say we do it for the cause and not for the applause.
Right, right.
So we try to help those kids that are going to college from here so that that book that they need, that their assistance that they're getting from the state may not pay for that particular book.
Mm-hmm.
The parent may not have that extra $200 to $300.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to provide those things for some of the youth that we give scholarships to that leave here in Columbus, Georgia, and in Talbotton, and in Buena Vista. Now, along with that, some of the things we do outside of the schools, I don't know if you're familiar with, we're on our 10th year where we do a Feed 100 event every November,
mm-hmm.
prior
mm-hmm.
to Thanksgiving. We do quite a few homeless feedings, but that is kind of like our culminating event where we sometimes we've done it in our building on 815 mm-hmm. 6th Avenue, but for the last 8 years we've done it at the Salvation Army. I think we're going to return it back to our building beginning next year.
Okay.
But what we've done in the past is we've fed the homeless and anybody else that need to come through. We gave haircuts and mm-hmm. things of like it has varied as to what we've done over the years. One of the most recent events we've done, again, we've been doing this for about 10 years, is we give out toys. One of my lodges, Mount Pisgah number 53, has for the last 10 years collected toys, and they take them to Piedmont Children's Hospital and donate those prior to Christmas for those kids that's going to be in there over the holidays,
right.
you know. And all of those lodges and chapters, those 10 organizations, collect toys. In many cases, they donate their own money when there's not enough toys to buy toys and give to families. Almost every time you see where there's a family maybe that's been burnt out of a home or whatever and they've lost everything, my organization or mm-hmm. our organization, it's not mine, I just happen to be that guy right now because Masonry has been going on for a lot of years, well before me, and it'll go on well after
you,
me.
You know, what I've heard a lot is sustainability in
right.
the community. You know, not just showing up at the beginning of the year at the return after Christmas, but being there throughout the entire duration of the school year. And a lot of educators will tell you that that's important.
Yes.
That's critical.
Well, what we feel is, it's one thing, it's kind of like when you lose a family member, you
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's there during the funeral and the repast. But it's that 2 weeks afterwards when no one's around, there's no spotlight or
Absolutely.
Whatever. Somebody's got to be there to catch that student. Now, we can always go back and say, as you'll hear many people do, that parent, and they'll say that parent needs to be doing this or that parent needs to be doing that. Well, in many cases, these children don't have the parents that you had or I had, or their parents are not acting like you do as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to say, well, the parent ought to do this. But the child is still left needing help.
And should not suffer.
There you go.
Because the parent is inadequate.
So if the parent is not doing the job, the child that you're saving
mm-hmm.
may be the one that actually comes up with the cure for cancer
wow.
years from now.
Wow.
We don't know
wow.
who we're saving.
Wow.
We don't know what we're doing. You may be
Amazing.
Keeping a kid from going home and committing suicide. You don't know the impact of what you do. That may be the only time that that child says, you know what? Somebody does love me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody does care for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do what I got to do to take it to the next level and be a success story.
You know, that's very interesting because, you know, here locally in Columbus, we have a good number of Greek letter organizations. And of course, you know, Mason's considered a granddaddy of an Eastern Star, granddaddy and grandmothers of all sororities and fraternities, you know, everywhere. I mean, it's just a known common fact. We don't argue that. But one thing I can tell you about growing up in the country is that I didn't see many Greek letter organizations. But what I saw was Masons. What I saw was the Eastern Stars. And I'm sure that is still prevalent in places like Talbot County and places like Marion County, many of our rural areas, where even if you look at Georgia statistics, you're bound to see less people with college degrees in those areas because many of the resources and of job availabilities for folks with college degrees are in the city areas. And I said that to say, how important do you feel is the presence of Masons, particularly Prince Hall Masons, in places like Talbot County and Marion County?
Well, I will submit to you that they're very important. I would submit to you that if we took those organizations away from those rural areas, mm-hmm. their absence would be felt immensely.
Wow.
Again, those guys and those ladies, they do a lot of things behind mm-hmm. the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would submit to you that if you talk to the faculty members in those respective school districts and they talk to you about the impact that those men have, we like to say we're upright men. We take good men and make them better. Okay? Same thing with the women. We take good women and make them better. Okay? I will submit to you not only are they active in the schools, I will tell you that most of them are very active in their churches. In many cases, some serve as ministers,
mm-hmm.
some serve as deacons, they serve on the usher boards,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the like. These are people that are normally, in most cases, I can't think of one now off the top of my head, that's not a community leader in some respect or
absolutely.
Another.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, Masons are people, some may be carpenters,
mm-hmm.
some may be school teachers, some may even be some of your elected officials. I could name off
lawyers,
quite a few
doctors.
Elected officials mm-hmm. right here in Columbus
right.
that are Masons.
Right.
But I won't do that.
Right.
I will let them tell you if they want to tell you that they're Masons and part of the Eastern Stars.
I will
submit to you
right,
that
right.
it's some very, very
uh-huh.
influential people
uh-huh.
that people don't even know that are Masons.
You know, I know a couple of them, too, and I'm going to hold their names as well. You know, I'm itching to talk about it, but I'll hold the names. But I will say this, though. I will say this. If you look at the impact and you look at the brotherhood, and, of course, you know, a lot of people know the slogan, you know, to be one, ask one.
That's right.
You know.
Well, let me tell you what that means right
off. Go ahead.
You see a lot of organizations that they recruit. They mm-hmm. actively go out and commute and recruit within the community and say, hey, look, to be good, you need to be one of us. What we say is we will let our work speak for us.
Mm-hmm.
If what you see us doing is something that appeals to you, then go to a brother and say, hey, I would like to join. Okay? Or go to a sister and say, I would like to join. In other words, it needs to be your own free will. I don't need to convince you
mm-hmm.
to join what I know to be right and an upstanding organization. If you think you're what we need or you can better this organization, and many people don't ask because they're afraid of the unknown. They say, hey, the Masons are a secret organization.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
a difference between an organization that's secret
uh-huh.
and one that has secrets.
Right.
Everybody knows that Prince Hall Masons are all over the United States and all over the world, for that matter, because my journey in Masonry has taken me abroad and everywhere else. Because I think you know, I'm not originally from Columbus.
Right.
I started my military career here in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
I went abroad on numerous occasions, different countries, different continents, and I returned back to Fort Benning in the year of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I retired in 2005. Now, during most of that time, somewhere in there, I became a Mason early, about midpoint of my career.
I want to talk about that journey. Let's take a quick break. You know, Brother Barnum, when you're having a great conversation, the minutes just go by so fast. And everyone out there in radio world, if you will just bear with us 1 second, we do need to hear from our sponsors real quick. But you do not want to miss the second half of this conversation with Brother Matthew Barnum. He is an impressive gentleman here in this city that cares about Columbus, that's been fighting hard to help us on many different fronts, many different levels. He's been leader in many different organizations, particularly now we're talking about the most worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge here in Georgia, particularly the Columbus 4th Masonic District. So we're going to continue this conversation when we come right back. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back.
The newly elected officers of the Columbus branch of the NAACP invite you to the NAACP's 44th Annual Freedom Fund Banquet. This year's theme, Together We Will, Onward and Upward. The banquet will be held Friday, January 4th, 2019 at the Columbus Convention and Trade Center. The guest speaker for the evening is Rosalind Brock, Chairman Emeritus of the National NAACP. Tickets are $50 and may be purchased at the Citizens Trust Bank, Carolyn Hughley's State Farm Office, and St. Mary's Road United Methodist Church. For more information, call 706-225-0106.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm excited today to have a great conversation with my friend, one of my good friends, Brother Matthew Bonham. We're talking about the Columbus 4th Masonic District, the most worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge here in Georgia, which also has lodges in Marion County in Buena Vista, as well as in Talbot County, right? In Talbot,
yes, sir.
Georgia. And so we're going to continue that conversation. Now, brother, before we went to break, you talked about your military career, how you started in 1982. And you retired from the military here in 2005. So you've seen a lot of change here in the Columbus area. If you had to sum up that change, what would you say about that change?
Well, I remember in 1982 when I first got here. Of course, I was in basic training out on Fort Benning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left basic training, this was my first permanent party duty station. And I said, wow, I am not, for whatever reason, staying in Columbus.
Wow.
At that time. During my military career, because of the branch of service I was in, which was the infantry, it brought me back to Columbus on numerous occasions for leadership training at Fort Benning. Well, at least twice I was based there, once as a drill sergeant. And I have seen Columbus change. Some for the worse,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a lot for the better.
Okay.
Okay. And when I say for the worse, I've seen industry leave, and that's the biggest detractor that I've seen in Columbus. And I think that's one of the catalysts for a lot of the crime that you see. Because when young people get out of school, if they don't have a place to go to work and make money, they're going to find other ways to do it. Okay? So you see a lot of the robberies and maybe even little drug tiffs and wars, mm-hmm. that cause, mm-hmm. people to get shot. Now, I'm not law enforcement, so I can't tell you exactly what goes into each one, but I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. But when you talk about the positive,
you know, no disrespect to law enforcement, but you know, regular people know the community too.
Oh yeah.
And this is what you see in someone who's been here that long. You know, even you have a foundation to state your opinion about some of the challenges, and I can tell you what you just concluded is not too far from what we've seen happen in a lot of different areas in which they have embraced, which is the fact that when the economy is bad in your area, crime is going to be high.
Yes, sir.
And we still have one of the highest unemployment rates in the state of Georgia, right here in West Central Georgia.
That you have stated a natural fact. And that's not exclusive to Columbus, Georgia. That's, you look anywhere in the United States where the lack of opportunity,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
lessens,
mm-hmm.
the crime increases.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy, again, to say, hey, look at what they're doing. I will submit to you, what are we doing to attract industry? I have seen the surrounding areas, that being Montgomery, Alabama, that being West Point, that being in close proximity
Macon,
to us,
Macon,
attract major industry. All the while that I've seen that bypass Columbus and similar industry leave Columbus. So what is it we're doing, or what more especially, what is it that we're not doing to make them feel as if Columbus would be a viable location for them to put their plants or whatever it may be, okay? Is it, do they feel that we're not educating our students well enough? What is it? Is there some benefit that maybe local government is giving to them that Columbus is not willing to sacrifice for the a much larger gain? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I'm not in that negotiating. But someone there has to sit down at the table and ask those questions. What are we not doing? Okay.
You know, and we need to answer that fast, because just this week alone, you know, we're trying to wrap up the year and we're still adding to the homicide numbers. We just had another homicide this week, this past week, Thursday. And so, you know, it is not helping us, and is kind of digging a deeper ditch, if you will, from attracting industries here that may want to come here.
The number of homicides in Columbus, not just this year, but in the last 2 to 3 years, are very alarming. Okay.
Absolutely.
How do we rate amongst similar sized cities? I can't really say, but I can really think about how things were in Columbus. Or maybe my memory isn't as well as it should be, but I don't think the homicide rates have been this high for any period of time. If we compare the last 5 years to the previous 5 years, I don't know where we would be. But I would venture a guess that the last 5 years are pretty alarming.
And, you know, and I know it's cute for some folks to try to compare us to other cities and say, hey, look, this is where we stand. But I live here in Columbus.
Right.
I don't live in those other cities.
Right.
I don't care what they do. One is too many for me. And I think that we should be working more to curve that. And I think that's part of what you've talked about, what the Masons are doing, like being involved in the schools and things of that nature. Because, you know, there are some educators and there are some experts that swear, Brother Bonham, that by the time a child reached third grade, you can tell whether or not that child is going to be problematic to society. And actually, there are some people that are building prisons off of that knowledge.
I disagree with that logic. I think what we do in many cases, and when I say we, I'm talking about society, not the Prince Hall Masonic group. What we do sometimes is we kind of, I want to say, push people in that direction by the things that we say or do to them. It kind of goes back to that self-fulfilling prophecy. When you start telling people this is what they're going to become and they're not going to be anything else, they kind of play to your expectations. This is what you think I'm going to be. Okay? So I know I'm not going to disappoint you. Anything I do, if I do this, this is what you expected anyway.
All right.
But if I show you a different expectation, if I tell you I really believe you're going to be a great member of society, I think you're going to be a store owner, I think you'll be an entrepreneur, I tell you that, you know what, the way you do math and what I've seen you do in science, you're probably going to be a doctor. You have to impregnate a kid's mind with success early.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. That's
you
right.
have to plant that seed there and tell them what they're going to be. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I was a little kid, I had my aunt used to tell me, you're going to be the first black president. You know, at the time, you know, that was unheard of. Now, of course, we know I wasn't the first black president. We've had the Honorable President Barack Hussein Obama, and I think we miss him quite a bit. I'm going to just leave that right there. Now, having said that.
You don't have to leave it at this. You know, we wide open on this show here. We talk about it all, Brother Bonham.
Having said that, though, there were some things. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I grew up very poor. Very poor. If I show some people the things that I went through and they look at where I'm at now, it'd be almost unbelievable. But because I had a praying mama.
Okay? Come on now.
Now, I had a nuclear family. My daddy was there and all that. But whatever happened in there, we were a family.
Right.
Okay? I knew who my daddy was. I didn't have to go look for him. I didn't have to ask if he was coming over. He was already there. You know, and those are things. And I had people telling me, here's what you're going to be. Okay? Now, if you had to look at that from the outside looking in, if you were the average person, you'd say, hey, that guy's not going to be anybody. But they didn't know what was being instilled in me. They didn't know the education I was receiving at school. I was, for lack of a better term, I was a jock, I was an athlete, mm-hmm. but I was a nerd. Mm-hmm. When I rode the school bus to school and back, I was reading a book. But I was big enough that nobody bothered me,
right?
If
right,
that makes sense.
Right, makes
okay.
sense.
But my teachers, the people I came in contact with in the community, and more especially my mother, my aunt, and they would tell me, here, you're going to be somebody. See, that stuck. And the worst thing for me, watch this, didn't care about the outside world. I never wanted to disappoint my mama.
Wow.
I didn't say mother.
Wow.
I said mama, because I ain't heard no kid mama. When they fell off their bicycle say, wait, mother. No, they said mama. They call her for mama.
They call
okay,
for
mama is everything. She's mother, she's
that's
nurse,
right.
she's all that.
That's right.
Now, the worst thing for me was to go home and tell her I failed.
Mm.
See, people don't understand how powerful that is.
Mm.
When you impregnate a child's mind with, you're going to be successful, and here's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, my dad had all his faults, but I'm going to tell you one he didn't have.
What's that?
He didn't have a problem getting up in the morning going to work, even when the doctor told him he shouldn't be working.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
I can say different things about my siblings, but one thing I can't say about not one of my siblings, that's one thing they inherited from my family, they will work. So that you've got to be willing. You said something at the beginning of this show. You said faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We can sit around and we can pray, and praying is great. I say push, pray until something happens. But after you get done praying, get up off your knees mm-hmm. or wherever it is you're praying mm-hmm. and move.
And move.
Let's go do something. And now you ain't going to sit back and wait on something. God ain't going to do nothing for you until you first try to do something for yourself.
Right.
Okay?
Right, right.
You got to get up and get going.
Right.
Okay, now, let's go back to where we talked about the kid. And you know what? Adults can benefit from this too, because if you're still living and you still have your conscious mind, and you have a way of doing things, you can, just like we tell children, you know, here's what you've got to strive to become. At this age that I am now, I still have dreams and things that I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all of it's for selfish reasons. Much of it is because I want my children to have something to look up to and something to not just shoot for, but to surpass.
Well, you know, that's why a lot of experts, Brother Bonham, say that mentorship is so important. What you just described is what mentors do in the life of a child that have that missing at home.
And that's one of the things that we try to provide, both male and female. We have several different mentoring groups that are across this city.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several groups that have mentoring programs that we have joined in to assist. I agree with you 100%. Let's go back to what we said. That child may not have that person at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's provide them somebody
right.
to look up to.
Right.
Okay? And I'll never forget, we did an Easter, and that's one thing I left out. We do the citywide Easter egg hunt every year
right.
here in Columbus. And we encourage the parents to come out dressed a certain way. You know, let's dress for the occasion so that you can represent right. I remember one instance where a young man was at the Easter egg hunt. He had his pants down almost round by his knees. Mm. Young boy. So I told him, I said, hey, young man. Well, no, first someone else told him. And he told me he wasn't going to pull up his pants. So they brought him to me. And I said, hey, you're going to have to pull up your pants or you're going to have to leave. You're not going to be able to participate. He told me, well, I'm going to tell my daddy. So I said, fine. I would welcome your dad so I could talk to him. So he went and got his daddy. Lo and behold, brought daddy up. Daddy got his pants lower than the little man.
Good Lord, Jesus.
So I said, and I pulled dad off to the side because I didn't want to, you know, say anything negative to him in front of his kid.
Yeah.
So I pulled him off to the side. I said, hey, man. I said, let's be real here. We've got an Easter egg hunt. It's at no cost to you guys. Just want to make sure the kids have fun. And more importantly, we always teach them the reason for Easter.
Absolutely.
So we have a little presentation, if you will, before we do the Easter egg hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, all of this is funded by the Columbus Prince Hall, 4th Masonic District, okay, along with Davis Broadcasting.
Right.
They participate in this. But he made the statement, I'm not pulling up my pants. Ain't nobody going to make me. I said, okay. No one here needs to have to look at your underwear. Okay? We're not doing that today. So you're going to either pull them up or you're going to leave. You and your child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had to make him leave. I had to make him comply. But here's why I say children a lot of times learn the wrong things from their parents. Okay? Parents have a responsibility. See, here's the thing. You can do what you want to do as an adult as long as you're not breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand what you're teaching your child is what they're going to enter society with.
That's right.
If the rest of society don't accept that as a norm and they don't appreciate it, don't get mad at them if your child does not accept it.
Right.
That's what you have done to hurt your child.
And you had to take action because you didn't want a message sent to the other children out there that this particular behavior is acceptable.
Well, if you allow, let's think about it. If you allow that to happen, what's going to happen the next time? It breeds upon itself.
Absolutely.
You let this guy do it, so I'm going to do it. Now, we've done that. What's next?
What's next?
Once you establish that, hey, look, you have standards, and you're going to maintain those standards, people will adhere to them.
That's why, you know, growing up as a kid, and I've always had this amazing admiration for Masons, because in my community, the Masons, they were the guys that helped keep order. That help keep the community together, that were leaders when you need leaders.
Right.
And there were no other there. That they were always the organization that had the backbone to speak the truth and to fight was what was right.
I will submit to you and I know a lot of people are gonna say, what did he just say? I will submit to you that the Columbus Fourth Masonic District has a much longer and deeper history than people really realize. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came here once, but he came here to thank a gentleman in this community for an idea that he got.
Mm-hmm.
It's called bailing the cat. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people look at what happened in Montgomery with the Montgomery bus boycott. Say, hey, that was a great idea. But you know that idea originated here in Columbus, Georgia.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
There's a lot of historians who's probably listening right now. Say, what did he just say?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you go back and you're an avid, if you're good with history, you know that back, the Democratic Party, if you won the Democratic nomination in the South,
mm-hmm.
that pretty much determined who was going to win the general election.
Absolutely.
Well, mm-hmm. during the Jim Crow South, you know, we couldn't vote in the Democratic primary, so we didn't really have a voice.
Mm.
So that was a group called the Men's Progressive Club. Oh, by the way, 90% of them were Prince Hall Masons, too. But they decided, hey, look, we've got to send someone to that convention that is without blemish, that has no faults, no crimes. He's an avid person. He's a devout person in the community, and he's fine and upstanding. So they had to find that guy, okay? And they finally settled on a gentleman, okay? So he went to vote Dr. Thomas Brewer, who Brewer Elementary School is named after, by the
mm-hmm,
way,
mm-hmm.
drove him.
Who was the first black doctor here in town.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Columbus Civic Center now sits is where they normally held the convention back then.
Mm-hmm.
So he drove him there to vote. And, of course, when he got there, you know, they asked him, what are you doing here, boy, and all that. One of Columbus's finest took him off. He ended up getting beat up and everything else. They dropped him off. So Dr. Thomas Brewer took him to a lawyer, and they filed a suit, of which they won.
This was Primus King, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was what we call bailing the cat. In other words, they had to find the right person, someone without blemish, to be that person to take that case to court and win.
Wow.
That was well before Rosa Parks was selected to get on that bus and not move.
Right.
There were two others selected prior to her. One got pregnant. The other was a guy. And I think the reason he didn't get selected was because he was a little too dark.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to choose the right person. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came here on that one occasion at 815 6th Avenue to thank that person for that idea.
Wow. Came to the Masonic Lodge.
Yes. He went to the Masonic Lodge because he was first going to go to, and I'm not going to name the churches, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that, but he was first promised to be able to speak at several churches. Mm-hmm. But because of the threats they received from the Ku Klux Klan, mm-hmm. they refused. Mm-hmm. As I've told you before, many of our members served as clergy, served as deacons, and whatever else. So, and they were serving then. So they said, you know what? The churches will not allow you to speak there. So come to our temple. Okay? He came and he spoke that night. And there was someone that drove up, but they quickly left because the temple at that time, the roof was not beveled. It was flat. Mm-hmm. On top of that roof was a circle. It was 360 degrees of masons, okay, guarding that temple.
Wow, this has been another awesome, awesome edition of Sunday Conversation. A good way to wrap up 2018, getting ready to take us into 2019. Here talking with the Brotherhood, a historic Brotherhood that has been a part of so many communities, rural and citywide, just helping so many families, being involved on so many different levels. Brother Bonham, I heard you today. I heard what you said about let's move.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we got to do. Let's move, Columbus. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. Let's take this thing in a different direction. We can, because this is our city and we own it. So
we've got to own our youth. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. We've got to own them.
Owning our youth. So, Brother Matthew Bonham, I want to thank you again. And again, Brother Bonham is the District Deputy Grand Master of the Columbus 4th Masonic District, the most worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge here in Georgia. They have the Prince Hall Masons have four lodges here in Columbus, one in Marion County, one in Talbot County. They have two lodges of Eastern Stars here in Columbus. One in Marion and one in Topperton, right?
Yes, sir.
Ten altogether.
We've got a total of six lodges and four chapters, sir.
Six lodges and four chapters. All right, all right. Well, thank you guys for the work that you're doing. Thank you for being on here today to wrap up the year for us with Sunday Conversation and to drop a tad bit of history, that little nugget, to wrap up 2018 so that we can get some minds thinking into this new year about how we need to progress as a community and how we need to move forward. Brother Bonham, I certainly got to have you back, my friend.
Yes, sir.
We got to continue this conversation.
Whenever you want. Me.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Again, I want to wish all of you a happy new year. I will see you in 2019. In January of 2019, we're going to kick the year off right. We're going to get things going here in this city. We're going to get our people back excited and motivated again about moving forward, about saving our youth, and about working with organizations. Even if you don't know about them, you're going to learn about them right here with Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Have a good one.
The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.